Greetings, troubled listeners. Welcome to the 300th episode of the Troubled Men Podcast. I am Renee Coleman. Yeah, I know. Wow. Hi, I'm Renee Coleman, sitting once again in Snake and Jake's Christmas Club Lounge in the heart of the Klempire with my co-host, the original troubled man for troubled times and future mayor of New Orleans, Mr. Manny Chevrolet. Welcome, Manny.
Hey, man. 300. It's like that movie, The Last 300.
Right. That was the...
Died.
Those guys all died, right?
Yeah, they all died. Just like this show is dying.
Sure. You know, it started small. We're going to end small. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like my penis.
Okay.
Which is an innie.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So that's how small we are.
Okay.
You know, what's going on, man?
Well,
300 shows.
300 shows. It's been a while. We're coming off of a big, like a 5-week break. I think that's the longest break we've ever had in the whole history of the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Because you had, we always have the couple of week or so break when you have the beginning of the semester.
Yes.
Which we just had the beginning of the semester. But
yes.
Then this time we had the record snowstorm in New Orleans, which pushed us back a week, right? Pushed your school schedule back a week.
I guess. I don't know.
Well, that is what happened. Yes, it's been so much news since the last time we did the show. But I mean, the big news is it's our 300th episode.
Yes.
And, you know, here we are.
And we've got the bottom of the barrel here today.
Well,
here we go.
All right,
yeah,
there they are. A round of applause. Okay,
you
I like it.
Like a bunch of junkies, if you ask me. You know, but thanks for coming out.
Yes, yes.
We I have no idea who you people are. A round of drinks on Renee right now. Okay,
yeah, I think we already did
there
that.
We already did that?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Just one round.
Round?
Yeah, yeah. And then anybody else that comes in after this, they're on their own. This is an invitation to come and have a drink with us, not on us.
Oh, okay.
But you can buy us drinks.
Yeah, well, that's a given.
Sure,
yeah,
well.
That's a given, yeah.
But,
so lots been going on since the new year happened.
Yes.
I heard our new president... Once again, just like 8 years ago, has decided to get away with plastic straws. That's his whole focus right now.
Well, we were always pro-plastic straws. Like, the plastic straws and the not exercising may be the two things we agree on, me and the president.
And tar heroin.
Well,
that's what we agree on, too.
Sure.
Because remember, I was remembering, D.C. brought back a memory when he brought this table here.
Right.
And, did you get fucked on this table a lot, D.C., or something? I don't know.
It's a table from
anyway,
the Circle Bar.
Anyway, I just
bar.
Remember lots of tar heroin at the Circle Bar. Me and Carlo up in my apartment up there doing lots of tar heroin. Is that still around, tar heroin?
I haven't seen any. Haven't seen any
you
in
haven't
quite,
seen
quite
any?
A while. Yeah, yeah.
I got to call my dealer then, I guess.
Yeah.
He's a Trump supporter, but he's a good guy. But Trump says that we're getting greater by the minute.
Huh?
Did you hear that?
No, I missed that.
Yeah, but I think we're getting greedier by the minute.
Sure.
Basically. That's basically what's happening. We'll see what happens, because he was such a disappointment 8 years ago.
Right, so you have higher hopes?
I have higher hopes for him now.
All right, well, it's not looking good right out the chute.
I don't know, but...
No, it's kind of a communist cultural revolution-style
purge. I think he should
do
some tar heroin. It might help him out.
Yeah, I think he seems to be kind of a straight-edge guy, you know? I think that's one of his problems, maybe. You know?
Yeah, he needs to relax, watch women go at it. You know, that's how he gets off, I think.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
That's how I get off.
Gets too imbalanced there when you don't have the other
but
legs
anything,
of the
all
stool.
Sorts of crazy shit is going on and stuff.
Well, we had the L.A. fires. Your hometown was on fire while we were on the break.
I like it. Burn, Malibu, burn is what I always say.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We love when Malibu burns.
Oh, I
was very surprised, though, that the Palisades burned, because it's such an urban area. There's not that much forest or anything like that.
But isn't the whole area like all brush and everything? It's all that undergrowth that's all so dried out.
And
then you got the houses, and they go up like,
what they need to do is to start in the areas of SoCal. They need to put goats everywhere, because goat eat everything.
I've heard people say that.
The goats. They talk about the goats in certain sports and stuff like that. You know, the greatest
right,
of all time.
Right, right.
But the real goats are the goats.
Okay.
Because they can save lives. They'll eat anything.
Yeah, I like goats. They're like big dogs. You know, they seem pretty docile.
Do you like guinea pigs?
I've never had any kind of real.
I love guinea pigs.
Really?
Taste like chicken.
I was going to say to eat. Yeah.
They're good things.
Some places. Guinea pigs, are they from South America or something?
I have no idea where they're from.
I'm not sure.
They're from the other side of the tracks.
Okay.
You know, anyway, so what else is going on?
Well, you know, just then we had the snowstorm, the record snowstorm. You know, I was born here. I've seen maybe like five snow falls in my lifetime here, but that was a record.
Now, did you go skiing?
Skiing?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't go skiing in Colorado. That's not for me. Skiing?
So, do you like the snow?
I mean, you know, it's nice to look at. I don't want to have to go walk around. And now, you know, traveling, being on the road, I've been in snow many, many times myself. It's just, you know, not in New Orleans so much.
Right.
You know,
now, do you have snow gear?
I do not have snow gear.
So when you're out on the road, you just kind of wing it.
Well, you just try to stay on where the you know, not tromping through the
snow.
You
stay in the hotel.
I'll go out on a sidewalk that's clear, you know, try not to slip on
the
ice.
I realized during the snow that I have no kind of winter gear whatsoever.
Right.
So I just stayed in my house.
Well, you know what? I saw a lot of people walking around in shrimp boots. That's what everybody had because it would keep your feet wet, but it doesn't insulate your feet at all. You could get frostbite walking around those shrimp boots in the snow.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
You know, those rubber boots that people walk around in the marshes with, you know.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Have you ever had an argument with someone who stutters?
Because
I had an argument recently with a stutterer. And the fucking problem with that is that they always win, the stutterers, because they always get the last word in.
Okay.
You know, because it takes them forever. So you've said your piece and all that kind of stuff.
And then they have their comeback.
Yeah,
finally.
They have their comeback, which takes, you know, fucking forever. And you can't win. You can't win against a stutterer.
You know, I have a bit of a stammer myself sometimes. I'll lock up, you know. I have the Tourette's-ish, ticky inclination. So, you know, I have a lot of sympathy for people that, you know, are dealing with these kind of
Did you see
issues.
The King's speech? It's about the king who had a stutter.
The movie, I did not see that.
It was a good movie.
He was kind of a right-wing, a bit of a Nazi sympathizer, was he not?
I don't know, but he smoked like the world was ending. He smoked like 8 packs a day.
Huh.
But anyway, yeah, so I had an argument with a stutterer, and it just pissed me off. Because he ended up winning, you know.
Well, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, other news, I saw, you know, at some point we're here, get past the news and get back to, you know, the fact that this is our 300th episode.
300, yes.
Yeah, you know, we started off just you and me and in your car outside of Mick's Bar on Bienville Street.
Yeah, those were good times.
And then with the next, the first 100 episodes we did there in the Ring Room.
Yes.
The legendary Ring Room. We had a whole cast of characters there. We had the Midnight Cowboy, the guy who dress up always in the Indian garb.
Why did you call him Cowboy when he dressed like an Indian? Is that just for fun?
For fun, yeah.
Okay.
Plus, he was the Midnight Cowboy. He seemed like he had kind of a hustler vibe to him. So that's what made me think of that.
He works for the that organization that does the... the Tennessee Williams thing festival?
Huh, okay,
he works for the Tennessee Williams.
All right,
festival.
It's a literary.
I guess that's a full time job.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Yeah, but you don't know how big the staff is. He might be, might be a one man operation.
Well, yeah, I guess. Anyway, he seems like a good guy. I haven't seen him in a while though.
Yeah, he was. There's one of our episodes where he's photographed with us.
It was just between
you and me. But then he jumped in for the photograph, so people can roll back in our Facebook.
300 episodes.
You know, and talking about rolling. scrolling back through all the Facebook posts, something I notice sometimes it'll be somebody's birthday. I have to scroll back through and find their episode. Uh-huh. And as I do that, I can see you and I age in reverse because we have a photograph of us every week for the past 7 or so years. And we used to look much younger than we do now.
Well, I'm an old man, Renee.
Well, we're both getting there. Yeah,
7 years ago we started this?
Well, let's see. We started publishing in 2018. We actually started recording in 2017. So that was 7.5 years ago.
Wow, Jesus.
Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun, Manny.
Yeah.
And then we had the other fixture of the ring room was the lady would come start scraping the chairs at about 8:45 or so.
And, Miss Yolanda, she wanted us to get out.
Right.
Yeah, because the place closes at 9, and we always left a little after 9.
Right. But she scraped those chairs.
She's dead now.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
You know what she had in her coffin?
Hmm.
A scraper.
Okay.
Along with some flowers.
So in case she needed to get out.
And an NOAC t-shirt.
All right.
You know, which they made her pay for.
Yeah, sure.
You know, as an employee.
Took it out of her wages.
We'll try to get her on the show.
Okay.
She probably has some good stories.
All right. Speaking of people who have passed away, of the last 100 shows that we did, we've lost a couple of people from that. Just in the between 200 and episode 200 and
Uganda Roberts.
No, he was one of the early ones. He's one between 1 and 200. He's one of the ones. So the next phase after the ring room was we went into lockdown. We had the pandemic. We did the
best time of my life.
Right. You like?
I love the pandemic.
You like the being in the safe house.
Bring back the pandemic.
Right.
Man.
Well, you may get your wish. There may be another one. Bird flu looks promising.
Yes.
In that department, it could go airborne at any time here. So we had all kind of guests during that time. Uganda Roberts was one that we lost right after he was on the show. Another guy that we had on the show during that time, Stanley Atkins, singer, songwriter, guitar player with Stanley and the Undesirables. And he actually passed away just in the last couple of years.
Oh,
so he made it through that second 100 episodes, but we finally lost him. But then we came out of the lockdown. We had to find a new place to do it, and we've landed here at Snake and Jake's Christmas Club Lounge in the heart of the
filthiest place in the city.
Well, so far,
yeah.
Now I got a.
Have you seen my daughter's apartment? It's fucking filthy.
Okay, well.
I mean, I don't think it's as filthy as this place.
Okay, well, maybe in a pinch she'll let us do some podcasts from there.
Yeah, she's just around the corner over here.
Oh, really? Right in the neighborhood? Okay.
Yeah, she's in the hood here.
So then we found our new home here and actually got a call from the czar of the Klempire, Dave Clements, today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, called and was congratulating us, wishing us,
So where is he?
He's in California, taking care of some family business.
Oh, yeah.
He thinks he's going to be back next week sometime, but maybe we'll have him jump on the show. But yes, he wished us well, and I was so happy that we found a home here.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. But anyway, in this last block of 100 shows, people that were in that, there's two people that I could remember. One was the great Nicky Sonzenbach.
And he's dead?
He passed away shortly after he was on the show once again. And then, Nicky Sonzenbach, someone is a pivotal figure in New Orleans underground music, drummer with many bands, Sex Dog, Cranston and Dave Clements band. Nicky was the drummer in that band, also drummer in the Rockabyes, original drummer in Waka Waka, also had his own band, Blood and Grits. Oh, but you start talking to musicians, and so many people have Nicky Sonzenbach stories, really heartwarming stories where he was really really touched their lives musically.
Oh.
But sadly, Nikki is no longer with us. Also, we had Mojo Nixon on in the last the last 100 episodes, and and he passed away just a few months after he was on the show.
A warning to future guests.
Well.
Don't come on the show.
Well, you know.
Especially if you're old and not healthy.
Well, more people have survived than have passed away. So, you know, actually.
The night is young.
Well, sure.
Okay.
But you know, it's I'd say, you know, if you're grading us on like a 100-point scale as far as surviving guests, we're on the dean's list. I think we're doing good. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
It's A plus as far
so
as
so the dean.
The dean.
Okay. All right. So what else is going on?
What else is going? Well, one thing that caught my eye in the news is, you know, England had they don't have a lot of guns in England. Even the cops don't have guns in England. But so the crime is people stab each other.
Stabbings.
So I think this actor Idris Elba is that his name.
In England, they have a slogan, a PSA commercial saying, "Guns don't kill people, knives do."
Okay.
That's what they do, because they don't have guns.
They don't have guns.
So.
Right, well, so his suggestion was we should stop selling pointy knives. Should round the tip off of the knife.
Oh.
So you could still, you know, like you could still cut something, still cut your food with it or something, but, you know, it'd be hard to stab somebody with. It's like, well, I guess if we have to
and
childproof,
he's running for office on we, that campaign.
If we have to childproof everything, you know, sure. I was thinking, well, you know, where do we end that? Do we go to the scissors as well? You know, round off the scissors. Remember, you had those when you were in elementary school. They had the rounded scissors so the kids wouldn't stab each other.
Yes, they had the scissor, and they had the Elmer's glue.
Right,
and we used to tape our shoes to our desk with the Elmer's glue.
Glue your shoes.
Yeah, glue our shoes to the desk when we were in grammar school, just to fuck with our teachers. Especially on Friday, we'd do it. It was a lot of fun.
Or some kids would eat the glue. They'd like squirt it out and let it dry and then kind of chew on it like it was
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I know about eating paint chips.
Maybe that was just me.
Yeah, maybe you ate glue.
Yeah. Well, so we had some Saints news that came up. The bunch of emails surfaced between the Saints and the Archdiocese.
Yes. Well, that fucking owner of the Saints, what's her name?
Gail Benson.
Gail Benson, the Catholic whore that she is.
Well,
you know, she's trying to keep the church in line and helping them with. You know, with all those lawsuits and
right,
stuff.
So they had the emails from the Saints head office.
Yes, the Pelicans people.
Trying to pressure people in the news media for positive coverage.
The Catholic Church of New Orleans has fired people just because they didn't want to give them money to pay off these lawsuits.
They're in
food bank.
A big dispute with with the Second Harvest Food Bank. They're trying to extract some money from them, and then it was a big public hubbub about it, and the Archdiocese came back and said, oh, no, that's not what we're doing.
Yeah,
said, well what are you doing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know what we're doing.
Sure.
And, you know.
Well,
whatever. It is what it is. It's been corrupt forever, and they've been raping forever. It's like, what are you going to do?
Right.
You know, that's why I'm not Catholic, you know.
Anymore.
Right, you know, I was baptized.
Yes.
You know, and.
And you went through Catholic education, huh? Early Catholic education. We used to call it catechism class. I think they call it CCD nowadays.
Yeah,
or something.
I did when I was like 8 or 9 years old and stuff. And I remember I had a good buddy of mine who just passed away, lived in the neighborhood. Me and him had to go to the catechism, and we figured out a way how to open the poor box.
I'll bet.
And,
I'll bet you did.
we stole money.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, it was good times.
Okay.
But it was funny, too, because a lot of the money that we got out of the poor box was like rolled $1 bills like you do for cocaine.
Huh.
You know, you'd roll a dollar bill to snort some coke.
I've seen that happen, yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of those bills in the poor box were rolled.
Wow, surprising. You know?
Anyway.
Yeah. All right.
It's all good times.
Sure, sure, sure.
You know, I don't know. But I was thinking, you know, I think about things a lot.
Sure, you're a thinker.
I'm a thinker, and I'm a depressed thinker. And I was wondering, you know, I go to work every day, and as soon as I walk into my office, like, the whole energy of mine just drains. You know, I just
how do you think everybody else there
yeah,
feels?
Yeah, yeah. And I was thinking to myself, like, what other people have that same, you know, feeling when they get to the job? You know, does their whole energy just drain? And I was thinking, like, when porn stars go to shoot a flick, mm-hmm. you know, do they ever have bad days on a porn shoot?
I guess you'd have to. You know, by nature, every day can't be your best day, right?
Right. You know, so porn
some
stars,
of them have to be the worst day.
Yeah, so porn stars show up to work. They have a 9 a.m. call or 10 a.m. call.
That seems early
true. I lived in Van Nuys for a while, and you have those early calls because it takes them forever.
You got to set up and all that
set
stuff.
Set up.
Right. Lighting,
and
blocking.
Card,
right, right.
And,
fluffing.
You know, and the puff girls have to show up
sure,
and the
yeah,
drugs
yeah, yeah.
have to kick in and stuff
right,
like that.
Yeah.
You know, but so, you know, I mean, what happens on a porn shoot if you're having a bad day? Does it mean you just can't get it up or you got diarrhea?
Well,
or,
all those
know,
could be a problem,
yeah,
I would say.
All that
you know,
good stuff.
It might,
or
might.
Could you show up to a shoot, you know, as a porn star and the whole time you're doing the act, you're thinking about your kids who are doing bad in school. You know, you're just not there 100%.
I bet that happens a lot.
You know, it's just like, you know. Just like, what the hell's going on? So I feel for the porn stars.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah. It's not an easy job, man.
No, it's not an easy job.
Everybody looks at it and says, oh, it seems you're just doing something natural. It's like, unnatural circumstance.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I've done, it's like, you know, you got tons of people watching you.
Yeah, it's totally weird.
It's not intimate in many ways, but they're professionals.
Right, right, right.
And they don't have a union. And maybe they should get a union. I don't know. But I think about these things constantly, all the time.
Huh, okay.
You know,
you're
I think
racked
about
by
this.
These?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like I remember, I was born an unwanted child, you know. So
really?
I have a lot of issues. And I was an unwanted child. Huh. And now I'm wanted in 6 states.
There you go. Okay.
So
well,
it's crazy going.
It's possibility,
nuts.
You know. It's it could turn anybody's life could get turned around. You know, it could go from being unwanted to wanted.
You know, it's like I was unwanted. You know, I was like I remember when I played Little League. I was the only kid in my Little League team to get traded. That's how bad it was for me. You know. So, anyway, this is the things I think about.
Sure,
you know?
Sure, sure.
You know, it's like, I've been working in textbooks my whole life, like 20 years now, over 20 years. And it's turned me off reading. I hate reading.
Uh-huh.
But I did find this one book that I started to read. It's The History of Super Glue. I Can't Put It Down. It's crazy going nuts. Anyway, let's get a guest on.
Yeah, sure.
We?
Absolutely. We got a couple of options here. People wandered in. We have our previous guest who was on the very last show. Maybe we should save him a minute just to get somebody have some fresh meat in here. DC. DC, come jump on this, because this is a guest, a terrific
DC
guest.
DC is a furniture maker.
Oh, I am apparently my new occupation.
He was, wait till
pimp.
You're on the mic. Wait till you're on the mic here.
Your new occupation is pimp?
I'm pimping furniture.
DC was DC Harbold, a terrific bass player, plays with a singer, has his own group, Clockwork Elvis, plays
that.
In a whole bunch of other bands.
I
what?
Bipolaroid.
Tell us some other bands.
The Concrete Confetti.
Concrete Confetti, love those guys.
Yeah, and you also do that thing with, what's his name, who used to be the Plowboys.
Oh, the Chris Knotts. Chris Knotts.
Well,
Flatware.
Yeah, Flatware.
Flatware.
Flatware. Right, right. We were just DC and I were texting about Flatware just the other day. And also, you have More Fun Comics there.
More
on,
Fun Comics
on
and
Oak
the
Street.
Counterculture comic that you so graciously had us on.
Yes, yeah. Counterculture, hilarious.
And I love, do you still have that sign that says, sorry, we're open?
I need to make a new one because that one finally went the way of the dodo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's, sorry it no longer had the appeal.
Oh, okay.
It lost,
I get you.
It lost its luster.
Oh, I see.
Well, you know, DC was one of our early guests. He the first time he appeared on the show, he's been on the show a couple of times.
It's true.
The first time he appeared on the show, he was. We have more people walking in the door. They're looking at us. I'm not sure if they know why they're here, but. it's Chris Champagne. Oh, okay.
Where we are and why we're here.
All right, another previous guest here. We got to get Chris in here in a little bit. Yes, you were there in the ring room days on your first
That's
appearance.
That's right.
Yes.
You guys put a hood over my head and drove me to an undisclosed location.
Right.
Well, we had
yes.
to do that in those days.
Where yes. I could smell chlorine and... Old Spice.
Yeah, yeah, and sweat.
And Oxycontin.
And Oxycontin.
Yeah, yeah. No, we had to because you weren't a member.
I wasn't.
So I had to sneak you in like you were a part of the towels and stuff.
So like I just sort of opened my eyes and suddenly was surrounded by sweaty walls and sweaty balls.
Yeah. Okay.
And we talked and here we are again.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
no time has passed.
Right. It feels like
old friends.
Right, right. Yeah. Those were crazy days. That's the first Trump administration that was going on.
Goodness gracious!
And you know we and now we're in the second one. And you know it's we're the world is more troubled than ever. DC, I'm not sure if we're doing any good here. Or,
troubled nation.
You know, it's
the troubled nation is more troubled than ever.
Yeah.
Know, as we always like to say, if you're not troubled, you're not paying attention.
Exactly.
Now more than ever.
Now more than ever.
Well, so DC, yes, you also have the counterculture comic that you it's which involves people coming into your store and saying really stupid shit to you.
So did you and your partner? You still producing
Carlos?
That?
Yeah. Oh, okay. We just put out issue 1.5.
Okay.
And
where can people get that real quickly?
They can get it. They can look for it online. I think he can still go to counterculture.com, and also I have it at the shop.
Okay. Cool.
More Fun Comics, 8200 Oak Street.
There you go. But DC, you brought tonight, you brought a special favor. No one was expecting this.
I did.
An artifact,
I thought tonight was the night. The universe sort of collided and coerced and brought it all together. It's gone through several iterations of ownership since the Circle Bar closed.
Yeah.
You know, we all kind of like, you know, people taking artifacts from a burning building.
We want to cling to the thing that we had,
yeah,
even though you can't really. You can't
Caroline got that great photo that she has at her house, that great picture of the girl, the burlesque girl. And
right,
stuff.
Right.
Now, who got the clock, though?
Who got. Well, the clock
the K&B
was smashed.
Clock.
No, but I know it was smashed by those workers.
I don't know who got the clock.
I think Clemens might have it.
Giant K&B clock. Yeah. Holy moly.
Well, that and that beauty queen photo that's right up there.
Yeah, that's Miss Stephanie.
That's that used to belong to Jay Thomas.
Yeah, that's Stephanie's mom, right?
You're gonna have to ask Stephanie or Jay about that.
Okay.
Well, you know what the thing I always wonder about is there was a photograph of a saxophone player, and now I'm gonna forget his name, Eric. I'll think of it in a bit.
Smith.
No.
Johnson.
No. I'll think of it in a while.
Nelson.
It's none of
Peters.
Those. It's not helping.
Jones.
We're not trying to help Renee. No.
Eric Roberts from Star 80.
Is it the guy from Lost Boys, the shirtless muscle guy playing saxophone?
No, but there was a photograph of him that when he fell ill in upstate New York. And he was his apartment was they threw all the stuff out right there on Claiborne Avenue, right before Fern or so, and Dave Clements, the czar of the Klempire, was passing by when they had all the stuff sitting out there. And if you remember this photograph, it was of like a 9-year-old boy. It was a pretty big photograph, framed photograph.
I do remember the picture.
And he didn't even know the saxophone player. He just saw the stuff and started rummaging through it and thought, oh, that's a pretty nice photograph. I like that. I'll take that over to the bar.
Oh, Dave's a hoarder.
Well, this is why I brought the table. The table went through several owners.
Okay, back to the table. Yes, so he brought a table. That's the artifact that you brought tonight.
It's a nice cast iron base with a wooden top that's covered in copper sheeting.
Yeah.
And when I got it, it was full of gunk and goo and decades of barness.
Now I'm looking at it. It reminds me of that one time during Mardi Gras, they'd always open those windows and serve out the window. I think that table was part of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
That's where I remember that table.
So, and they came into my possession after several iterations, and I just said, this is maybe a thing, and maybe it's just junk, but I kind of like spending my time
working
too hard on useless, unwanted items.
Well, you're someone who takes these cast-off items and you bring them back to life.
There is something, there's a pleasure and really gratifying work in doing too much work for something that is underappreciated.
Okay. I that's what I'm doing here on this podcast.
And that's what we're doing playing music. Right?
Sure.
The amount of work that we put into playing this music for the amount of reward.
No, nobody cares.
Some
people
not
care.
Nobody, right. But... But
sure.
Anyway, so this is another manifestation of that same effort.
And having it, it's, any artifact from Circle Bar, it's a way we can hold on to Kelly Keller, the patron saint of this podcast.
Right. That crap soundboard that they recorded whatever Peter Green Fleetwood Mac record on that was falling apart and breaking. And now somebody, some kid's going to have that and be like, oh, dude, this is the original board that they did Green Manalishi on. And everybody that was there would be like, why are you using that? But then 20 years, 30 years, 40 years later, it's gold.
Okay.
What I want to know is who got all those 45s from that jukebox? That's a good question to ask. Who got that? We have to ask Dave about that.
Okay.
I bet you Dave did.
Dave, you think Dave did? Yeah. You know, how come he doesn't? Well, he's got a DJ here, I guess. He doesn't need a jukebox.
Oh, they play us.
So listen, you've been married now for 14 years, right?
I've been married 2 years.
2 years now. How's that doing?
It's bliss.
Yeah?
Absolute bliss.
A lovely girl you married.
I did.
Did well.
I'm a very lucky man. Her name is... Her name... I'm going
to
let her tell you.
Okay.
I don't, she's kind of a private person.
I'll guess.
Her name on.
Take a guess.
Nelson Jones Johnson.
Nailed it. Nelson Jones Johnson. I married Nelson Jones Johnson.
Ray J. Johnson. Yeah.
So everything's doing okay.
Everything's great.
You're going to be performing for Mardi Gras. I'm sure you're running the parades.
I'll be doing performing with the Rolling Elvi.
You're always with Muses, right?
I'll be doing Muses, King Arthur, and Iris.
Ah.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice.
So three parades. It's going to be the marathon.
Yeah, I know. I mean, because I think the last time you were on, you said sometimes there's just like you have to take a break. You're like going down. You're singing the same songs. You go through your one set.
This year I found out the theme early, so I actually added a bunch of songs to the playlist and got about 30 songs rolling.
Jesus. Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
That's a huge repertoire, man.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, for a parade, you only need three.
I know, but you get bored.
You get tired of playing the same song.
What am I?
Sure,
I'm going to do Suspicious Minds.
Sure.
A little less conversation and Burning Love over and over.
Right.
Doing those three songs for 4 hours.
So what's new this Mardi Gras for you?
Well, the theme this year is Viva Las Vegas.
Okay.
So, of course, doing Viva Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I'm going to be doing stuff from around that era, the Vegas era.
Okay.
Wearing that Love Dawn look I've added, if you know that song.
I don't know that song.
What are the
Maybe
songs from the movie that he did down here, Kid Creole? What are the songs?
Oh, well, there's King Creole, there's As Long As I Have You, anything from that soundtrack.
Are you going to do any of those songs?
Doing a song called New Orleans, doing a song called Trouble, doing a song
And you're
called,
doing it with a live band or just a playback?
No, actually, I thought initially, the funny thing about that is initially I turned that gig down when they initially asked me in 2008.
Okay.
2007, maybe.
Okay.
And they said, no, we'll have canned music and you sing along to it. And I wanted to bring the band.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I have a band. And so I said, no. And then I talked to some people and they said, are you crazy? Do it. Just do it once. See what it's like. And then I said, okay. So I did it and I found
some... So it's more money for you.
It's more money for me.
There you go.
But then I also realized getting a band to the lineup with their instruments and making that work would be...
It's
big, absolutely impossible.
It's a big pain, especially now they have the post ISIS attack that we had. They're instituting some more sort of lockdowns. At least they're talking about it. We'll see.
So
I've heard that it's very hard to cross the parade route nowadays.
I'm not going to ask anybody else to take that risk. I'll get in the front lines for that.
Okay, there you go.
For the entertainment and for the joy.
Do it for the people.
For the people and for the spirit of rock and roll.
Right.
I'll take that.
Right, right.
I'll take that on.
Yeah, I'm going to have to cross the parade route a few times.
Thank you, DC. Thank you, DC.
Yes, I'm doing it for you.
I'm not going out there.
I'll
just be at home watching, WNBA.
ESPN.
Oh, okay. Right on. And I'll have a Manny Chevrolet
women's
Vermeer
classics.
Sign on the float.
Yeah, women's 3-on-3 basketball.
I'll do God's work. Yeah. I'll do God's work for you.
Right on. Well, DC, for all of our guests jumping in on the mic tonight, it is our 300th episode.
300?
I know. It's crazy, right? Now, I have to ask you, what has the Troubled Men podcast done for you? What has it meant to you? What has it meant to you? Man, he likes that one.
Okay.
Let's
see. That means you've quit sugar, right?
You're really at a
Troubled
at a
Men
loss. At a
podcast.
No.
Has made me contact the writers about how my character is going to appear in season 2.
Oh.
Huh. Okay.
All right.
Well,
this is appealing to Manny's LA roots. And I really got to step up my New Orleans rock and roll game because some of these guys you have on and gals got really good stories.
Oh yeah, we get the highlights then the
well
and the
who
low
was
life.
What was the one he was partying with some cops at a strip club? Was that CC Adcock?
Could have been so many people.
Oh. God bless him. God bless
Dave
him.
Dave Elvin, CC Adcock.
I just played the third annual Clash Day with CC Adcock.
Yeah,
and look, it was CC Adcock, Spider Stacy, a former guest of the podcast, another early guest, and Jude Law.
Sure.
Who came in now? Jude Law, let me tell you, if he walked in this place right now, every head would be like, "Holy cow, that's a good looking man!"
Right? When you see every now and then, when you see one of those Hollywood people, and like the camera like actually dumbs them down.
No,
you see them in person, and the sun shines out of them.
Oh yeah, yeah. And then you start talking to him, and he's so nice and charming and cool and smiling and so excited to be there doing it. Like,
when I was playing in The Help with Barbara Menendez,
right,
and Ellen DeGeneres came to see us, and what's her wife's name?
Anne Hesh.
No. Portia de Rossi.
Yeah.
Portia de Rossi. Anne Hesh is dead.
I didn't really know any of these
she
people,
did.
But
That's
but
right.
Portia was with her. Her wife was with her. And I was so stunned. She was so
radiant.
It was a dark club. It was a House of Blues, and it was a dark club. And literally, light was just shining out
right.
of her. And I'm like, the camera.
And then you
dumbs
met Ellen,
you down.
And it was all downhill from there, right?
Well, you know. Then I broke a string in front of Ellen.
Oh no. Now, Ellen's sitting in the North Valley in L.A., wondering when her next gig is.
No, she's over in England, I think.
Once
Trump got elected, she and Portia moved over there to the hinterlands.
Did you notice Trump
hinterlands.
Went to Daytona 500 over the weekend, and
right?
his granddaughter was wearing a rainbow skirt?
I don't think he realized that.
You didn't see that?
No, I didn't.
It was hilarious. He's brought his granddaughter to NASCAR, and she's wearing this little beautiful little skirt. It's got the
pride skirt.
Yeah, it's a pride skirt.
Oh, good for her.
He's such an idiot.
He doesn't know what's
beautiful
going.
Rainbow.
Yeah,
everyone knows.
Everyone knows
rainbow.
The rainbows are beautiful.
I can sing a rainbow.
Yeah.
Red and yellow, pink and green.
Pink and green. Well, then he got ran over by a car, which was hopeful, but it didn't happen.
Wishful thinking, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Manny, I'm looking at your drink. I'm looking at my drink. I've finished about the same time as you did this time.
Oh, I should just finish mine. Look at DC. Yeah, so, down it, man. Cannonball it right now.
Here we go.
Cannonball. Cannonball. Cannonball it right now.
Oh, look at the music business professional and knows how to put the microphone on his throat as he drinks.
I come from radio.
Right, okay. We like that. Theater of the mind.
The nation knows
what we're doing here.
Hey, listen, the nation knows what to do. We'll be right back. We got plenty more guests, everybody.
Oh yeah.
You're all gonna be all right, on.
Clap it up, people. All right, there we go.
Crazier
300th episode here at Snake and Jake's Christmas Club Lounge.
I don't hear any hecklers yet, though.
No. Well, it's only a matter of time. As always, all of this is all former guests and supporters, fans, listeners, troubled listeners are all around us here. So they're all familiar with this is a listener supported show, and we do have the PayPal and the Venmo links and the show notes of every show and the Facebook posts about the show. And we have a couple of supporters jumped in tonight. One is my old buddy David Monette, who I went to a summer program with when I was a child for 3 years in Lake Charles, Louisiana. We stayed in the McNeese State campus. And
that was for troubled children.
Well, we were troubled. We were troubled. We were weirdos. Yeah. But David Monette sent us bought us a couple of drinks, and also this fella Stephen Bardwell, who I've not yet met, but he's a listener of the show. He actually started his own podcast recently. I think he and his wife maybe have a movie podcast. They talk about horror movies or something, or some genre of movie. So. Shout out to Stephen Bardwell and David Monette. Follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and rate, subscribe, and review the podcast wherever you're listening to it. Give us 5 stars. Helps us a lot. Cost you nothing. Also, a couple of plugs. I'll be going out with the Iguanas and Sonny Landreth starting Ash Wednesday, Annapolis, Maryland, between March 5th and March 9th. We're in Wilmington, Delaware, so up in that whole northeastern corridor. You can check it out on iguanas.com, see where I'll be on all those. Let's get back to the show. So we have two new guests jumped on, two previous guests. Chris Champagne, he's a terrific satirist, writer. He's written a number of books. Tell us, you wrote a book about the NFL.
I did. That was what we talked about during the
your father
pandemic. Yeah, well, my father played in the NFL.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Played with the Rams. He was also All-American at LSU. But the book is called The Most Interesting League in the World, How the NFL Explains America. And it's kind of a strange football book because it has, there's a couple of stories that my dad told me in there, but not very many. But there's stories in there about Bob Dylan, about Marvin Gaye, Harry Truman, that are related to the NFL.
Okay.
And there are also some football stories as well, just things that happen
in
football games and stuff. And again, it's called The Most Interesting League in the World, How the NFL Explains America. I was doing that book when we spoke during the pandemic.
Right. And then also you have you've done a series of books, or maybe a book that you continue to put out revised editions of, which is Secret New Orleans, right?
Well, right. Well, I did Secret New Orleans in 2017. It's for a French publishing house. And they asked me to, long story short, they asked me to do Secret Louisiana, which is the first time they'd ever done a state, because they've done, their business model is Secret Paris, Secret Rome, like that. And I did Secret New Orleans.
This is like all the whorehouses and stuff?
It's like little smaller museums, little things around town that you might not know, like a gargoyle that's sitting up on the side of a house, and a secret castle in mid-city, or Treme, I should say.
Uh-huh.
And
well, they're no longer secrets anymore now with this book, right?
That's correct.
So you fucked it up, Chris.
I did. That's my lot in life, to fuck everything up.
That's a nice little book.
I'm doing a hell of a job, too.
I like that.
Secret Louisiana just came out. Secret Louisiana just came out.
And where can we find this?
I like that.
You can find it in my trunk.
Along with some bodies as well.
Yeah, other secrets, right? In your trunk, in your closet.
Above the bodies.
Sure.
And you can find it in any bookstore. They're in all the books. It's in all the bookstores. It's really kind of a nice book, actually.
I like that. It's like small. It's kind of a pocket edition, but it's nicely.
It looks like a travel type of book.
Well,
it
is. Sort of. Yes.
Yeah.
Nice photographs.
You want to take a road trip.
Nicely
you know?
Typeset there.
Oh yeah, they did a great job.
And did you use verbs this time? Because your last book, you didn't use any verbs,
I thought. Yeah, I did. I used verbs.
You used verbs? Okay. Because the last book, I couldn't understand.
Well, verbs are expensive. You know?
Yeah, the verbs are expensive because they're action words, right?
It's like on correct. When Manny watches the wheel, you got to buy a vowel, right?
You
they're not
buy
free.
A vowel, yes. Yeah, exactly.
That's right. It's
consonants
like
are free.
Same thing, kind of like verbs there.
Okay.
So no one ever buys a Q, though.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Anyway, it's not a vowel. Anyway, go on, Chris. You're exciting to me.
Well, I'm glad I'm excited to someone. Okay, so
there's a lid for every pot. That's what somebody told me recently.
Okay, well, the Secret New Orleans is the first one I did for Jean Liz Editions, which is in Versailles, France, and there's also French versions of these books as well, since it's a French publisher, by the way.
Oh, okay.
And I can't read those, but nonetheless they're there,
and
they're going to update the Secret New Orleans book. It's coming out in April.
Oh, nice.
So I had to find a couple of new secret places, and we had to dump a couple of secret places. You know, one of the secret places in the Secret New Orleans book is Joe Cabral's art space.
My bandmate from the Iguanas. Yes, Joe Cabral, longtime band brother of mine. We're like family.
Well, I have his, his little art situation he has on Ponce de Leon.
Yeah. He has that space. He does
installations,
sculpture there. He has all kind of. It's a very cool little space. He's been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
It's groovy. So you called me to get his number, and you included that. That's an excellent addition. That shows you how deep you're digging there.
That's right. I try to dig as deep as I can.
Sure.
Yeah. And
ditch digging here.
He was. Well, actually, he was in the first book, but I thought that he had discontinued doing it because I walked by, and I think he told me one day that they were going to use the space for something else, but now he's back to doing that again, so I was glad that I caught it because we were getting ready to drop it from the book. But,
okay.
So now it's in there.
Oh, good.
So that was good.
Maintained his presence.
So do you know Paul Sanchez here?
Well, I met him about 4 or 5 seconds ago.
Yeah.
And, but I don't know who he is.
He has worked with my niece, Natasha.
And I've seen you. I've seen you perform as well. I know you've been one of the best performers in town for a long time. So
and let's
just ask him.
So let's introduce Paul. So Paul, unlike Disu, who was one of our earliest guests, Paul was our last guest right before the show. So
299.
But I tried harder.
You delivered, Paul, as always. You were saying, you waited so long or something. This is, and I was like, this is a very this is a plum position here. You know,
I was honored, and I'm honored to be
first,
here tonight.
First one of 2025, and
you were like Christmas Eve,
right?
Or New Year's Eve,
drunk.
Well, yeah, exactly. Let's get it going.
It was great.
Man.
I loved it, man.
Yeah. And then what are you drinking tonight? You're not drinking anything.
I had some THC seltzer earlier with a shot of vodka. I mean, tequila in it.
Oh, all right. Nice. I like that. That's. I haven't. I might have to try that sometime. Yeah. Now, when I showed up tonight to set up, it was the bartender Ian. Shout out to Ian, doing a great job behind the bar over there. Lewis, the manager. Lewis always holding down down the bar, and you know, night after night.
Because Dave has no idea what goes on when he's gone.
and Paul got here before the bar opened.
Yeah, I misread.
Because he's a consummate professional.
I misread the social media post that you made and thought it was a 7 o'clock broadcast. So I actually beat the bartender here.
It's better to be early than late, Paul.
Well, better late than too soon, but you know.
I disagree. But you're here.
Depends on the moment, I guess.
Sure, yeah. It depends on, like in Manny's when he's talking about
better,
doing porn.
What did you just
porn,
say? Better
you know?
Late than too soon?
Yeah.
That's what a lot of ex-girlfriends told me.
Right, I was saying back in the porn, in Manny's yeah. porn days, you know, that could
anyway, apply. So what are you here to promote? Anything?
I got nothing to promote.
Okay.
He's just here for the fellowship.
Okay. I came here for the troubled men. Because being a part of the podcast plugged me in to
the fact nation.
That I'm not alone in the world.
Yeah.
I am in the community of troubled men worldwide.
Yes.
Excellent, excellent.
Yes, that's how when I went to that summer program, that's what it was like, you know. and I actually had a little mini reunion of those people recently, and we all showed up and we all had the same ideas, like this thing saved my life because I knew I wasn't alone.
There you go.
So, yes, we're all here.
And that was the Girl Scouts?
Yes, well, sure.
Where the fuck are my cookies, Renee?
I got your cookies, baby. Yeah, you know, I don't know. It's just jumped into my mind. You know, I was having an exchange today with someone, and they were something a former guest, and something happened where someone was saying something that hurt their feelings. Not me or anybody.
It was me,
and not Manny. Surprise!
Damn it!
You would think that. Sorry to disappoint you, Manny. No, it was some other unknown person. Saying, well, a couple of things. I think right now with it feels like. Tell me if I'm wrong about this, but with the news, with the everything that's going on in the U.S. government and the world and all, everybody is so high stress. We have no emotional headroom. So anything that goes slightly askew, everybody's ready to get just blow their top over. Am I the only one that feels this way?
No, I agree.
Yeah. No, no.
It's a rough room, right?
Yeah, no. So
you're in the majority there for sure.
So you know, we can't do this for 4 years. We can't maintain this level of you know, knife's edge emotional.
Two questions, Renee.
Yes.
Do you have a passport?
I do.
Do you have dental charts?
I'm sure they exist.
Get them right now.
They're all at
the next
at
4 years.
LSU Dental.
You need a passport and dental charts.
No, I know. LSU Faculty Dental is quite comprehensive with the dental charts.
Let me ask you guys,
yes.
Paul, Chris, you guys watch award shows?
Well, not lately too much. Well, sometimes, yes.
You do? I'm from Los Angeles, so I grew up with award shows, and I hate award shows.
Okay.
You know, I can't stand award shows.
Well, by the way, I'm going to be in an award show soon. So
really?
Yeah, but go ahead.
Well, I hope you win.
Well, no,
it's always just,
no,
it's good to be nominated.
I'm not nominated.
You're not nominated?
I'm just part of the show.
You're just part of the show? You're giving out an award?
No.
All right.
I'm just.
Well, I happen to watch the Golden Globes.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I just was channel surfing. There was nothing on. Like a month ago.
Sure.
The Golden Globes came on. And I started watching it. And I hate award shows. Because it's just basically the industry patting themselves on the back.
Yeah,
I can't
sure.
stand that shit. But I realized while watching the Golden Globes, all the stars there together in one auditorium, the next time they're going to all be together in one place is at the Diddy trials.
Oh. Well, I hope so. That's something I will watch.
Yeah.
Well, So that would be an award show.
Hopefully it's televised. Yeah.
And fuck Meryl Streep. She wins at everything. Yeah, she wins all the time.
She's pretty good.
She's pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Anyway, so Paul.
Yes.
What's going on with you, man?
About Natasha.
The what?
Natasha.
Natasha Sanchez.
Oh.
Yeah.
You got a thing for her over there?
Now, Natasha was on episode 200, actually. We had it in the backyard here.
So, well, you asked me what I had to promote. I don't have anything to promote, but she has.
She has a new record out.
My niece has a new CD out.
Yes.
And I think a new photo exhibit as well as a brewery that just opened on St. Charles next to St. Charles Tavern.
Okay.
And they're hanging her latest photos as well.
Very talented photographer.
Yes, she is.
Well, you know, speaking of talent, I just on Saturday went and saw our former guest, Keith Duncan, at the Ogden.
Yeah. Keith has a huge display exhibit. Yeah.
At the Ogden. I went and saw him Saturday at the Ogden.
Nice.
He did a little Q&A there.
Very nice.
And his artwork is owning the whole fifth floor of the Ogden.
Excellent.
Wow.
And
He has the huge mural outside, right? Is that still there on the outside of the building?
I think it is.
It's like the St. Aug
I didn't see it. I think it's on the other side of the building.
Okay,
because I
was there for that, and they had the whole marching 100 St. Aug band there.
Right.
Nice. Unveiling
this
of that
whole exhibit's
a couple of years
about
ago.
Marching bands.
Okay.
And he does this great work on a special type of canvas and stuff and fabric. He melts them together. But he's such a good guy. And
I love his laugh.
Yeah,
he has one of the best laughs of any guest that we ever had.
Yeah. And he, he talks about his days in New York City and stuff.
He's got that Motley laugh.
Yeah, and he's one of those kids from down here. He grew up in a small town, and his kindergarten class was his high school graduating class.
Oh, wow.
That's how small this town
was. It's like from Edgard or something?
Yeah, and he married his high school sweetheart.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and they just adopted a baby.
Oh, very sweet.
She's 9 months old, and I asked him, how's that baby? He said, she's big. She's beating me up.
Yeah. He's a little guy.
Oh, he's a tiny guy. He's tinier than me. He's a lightweight, But yeah, he says hello, and
I was thinking about him. I was thinking, I would love to have him come in because I love that laugh. I love his.
I'll tell you, man, his art's doing well, and the Ogden produced a book of his art, and
that's so
there was
great,
people
man.
Lined up buying the book and getting autographs. That's why I couldn't even talk to him
that much. So happy for him
because I wasn't going to buy his book.
Well, he should give you one.
Yeah, he should give me a copy.
We got to get him back on the show, is what I was thinking.
Runs through August. So you go check
really?
It
that
out.
Far? Okay, great.
Yeah, it runs through like August. Don't do it during Mardi Gras. No one's going to go and all that.
Yeah. But wait till tourists will go. But
wait till after the summer comes, cool down in the museum.
Yeah.
And hump the artwork.
And we got to get Bradley Summerall, the curator of Ogden, on here.
I think he was there.
He's always there.
He'd be a great guest,
and I've talked to him about it, and he wants to come on, so we're going to get him on. We can get him and make him talk about Keith.
So anything funny you want to talk about, Chris?
Well, so Chris, also you do a lot of these satirical political productions, right?
And what's the next one going on?
Well, as usual, I don't have a next one to talk about right now. Although I may do the one I've been doing again. The one I've been doing is called Wait, Don't Shoot Me. Which is a New Orleans game show that tries to explain the unexplainable. And I have sketches about LaToya, one about Landry.
I saw in the newspaper on the headline a couple of days ago, and it said something about Governor Landry and Mayor Cantrell developing a special relationship.
Yeah.
And I thought, holy moly, is she going to start fucking him too? It's like, damn, man, she must have some personality. That's all I can say, man. Up close, like certain people, they say, like a one-on-one, you wouldn't believe how charming they are.
Right.
That's what I figure that's got to be the case. But
yeah, birds of a feather flock together, I guess. I mean, because both of them, they're just, I don't know. Not the greatest.
Well, they're not political.
Oh, right, absolutely. Opposites.
Yeah.
Political opposites, but what personality? Well, I don't know. Her personality is probably more bombastic than his.
The heart knows what it wants, right?
That's true. Yeah, yeah. Evidently, yeah. And if I had a heart, I'd know better. But
sure.
But yeah. So I did the "Wait, Wait, Don't Shoot Me" thing a couple of times, and I'm doing like since you mentioned the award show, I'm part of the entertainment at the annual Britannia Theater on the old theater Oscar show where you.
Oh, okay. You're going to be part of that?
Yeah, they show the Oscars on the big screen.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And then during the commercials, we turn off
the sound and
then we have entertainment. So I'm doing that.
A beautiful theater there.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And
amazing sound they have.
I'm starting a podcast actually with Ron Swoboda.
Oh, really?
Called The Catch. We've done a few preliminary ones.
He's alive?
Yes, he's alive. Yeah, okay. I'll let him know.
Ron Swoboda. Now, that's a guy I'd love to have on the podcast.
Well, I'll talk to him. Sure. He's a wonderful guy.
He was a professional baseball player. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. He played with the Mets in 1969. He was an American Mets.
Natasha Sanchez.
Natasha.
We were just speaking about you. We were talking.
Yeah.
We were doing a whole bit on you. Like,
yeah. How you owe us money?
I don't owe you no money.
You know, I'm trying to get Jeff Landry to hey Natasha, how are you? I'm trying to get Jeff Landry to change the name of Bayou St. John to Bayou Chris Champagne.
Okay.
I mean, why not? You know,
I went on Google Maps today and shrunk the world down just to see, did it say Gulf of America? And it does.
Yeah.
So ridiculous. Oh,
I'm
so
sure
crazy.
It does, yeah.
Now, on iPhone maps, it doesn't say anything. It just tells you where all the trenches are, the ridges.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't
yeah.
say, it doesn't have any.
When I Googled it,
it
said Gulf of Manny Chevrolet.
Okay. There you go.
But, I mean,
right.
But don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Gulf, right?
Don't be surprised.
G-O-L-F.
No,
right.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Don't be surprised.
What the hell is
Landry
that over
tries
there?
If Landry tries to rename the Mississippi River the Louisiana River.
Well,
you know, so I mean,
yeah,
you know that.
I mean, if we're gonna get ridiculous, you might as well go all the way.
So Natasha, you're looking lovely tonight.
Thanks for showing up.
The first guest that we have on the show tonight that has lipstick on. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, all right.
Well, he's smudged off earlier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why I'll suck it in. All wiped off.
Okay. Well, I came in too late. Yeah.
Is there anyone else we can bring in?
Wait, we're getting Natasha just sat down.
Okay, no, I'm just saying.
Sure.
No, I'm just saying.
So
okay, we're cool. Chris.
Yeah, Chris is good.
All right,
yeah.
We're good.
So, Natasha, your uncle was just...
What were y'all talking about?
You came up, Chris brought you up, and we were talking about Chris. Paul said he didn't have anything to plug, but that you actually had.
I have something to plug.
Well, plug away, baby.
I have a new CD.
That's
an EP.
Right,
okay.
Right.
It's called Pedal on the Metal.
Oh.
Nice. It just came out last month. And
Pedal with a T, right?
Pedal on the Metal.
I like it.
Yes, two T's.
Yeah. But just one in each word.
Just one in each.
And
word,
I'm a bad speller, but
and
I
this
know
is
that.
Your heavy metal record, right?
It's so metal.
Is it so metal?
It's like headbanging carrot song.
Excellent.
And, you know, flower power.
Oh, the carrot song. Yeah, yeah.
The carrot song's on there. I just
nice.
Came from Alex McMurray's gig and gave him a CD because he played some awesome guitar on the carrot song.
Alex always exquisite.
Exquisite. He was very exquisite.
And he always brings it. I was bringing up the Clash show that I did a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, fun, yeah.
And Alex was on that, and I always want to put Alex right next to me.
Yeah.
Because he plays the rhythm parts,
uh-huh.
and he really plays them.
He really goes for it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not any halfway. It's not a halfway effort.
No, he's killer. Yeah, he came in on that song, and I didn't know... Originally it was going to be an acoustic song. I was going to do it kind of how I always did, kind of just me and just, you know, whatever. But then I brought in Rose Cangelosi on drums.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And
saw
Rob
her
Schaefer.
In the T-Rex parade. She was marching to one of the groups.
Yeah. And
she'd be a good guest too, Rose.
You got to have Rose on.
Gotta
totally.
Write her name down, yeah.
But she came in the studio and this was the first song that I had kind of worked on, because the other songs on the EP, three of them were produced by my friend Joe Adragna from from the junior league.
Got to get him on the show,
too.
Oh,
he totally needs to be on. Yeah.
I was just listening to his records the other day. He's so great, man.
Oh, my God. No, he's amazing. Our broadcast day at his last CD. Yeah, the junior league. Yeah. It's, totally. He's awesome. And he did a great job. He produced, like, three of the songs.
Nice.
And really just brought the vibe out.
Really,
you know?
Real power pop aficionado.
Power pop. But, you know, we really worked on the songs. Like, I gave him the backstory because I'm a lyric person, right?
Okay.
And so when I play, I just, you know, I play it my way. These songs that I've written are old for me. You know, they're new to a lot of people, but they're old for me. I'm, you know, 10, 15 years old. And I'm locked into them, you know? It's like muscle memory. And I think of the story of the song. But it's I've just been doing it so long, and so he sees the lyrics, he hears the backstory, and he comes back with music, and I'm like, that's how it's supposed to go, like,
you know.
So it was really great. And then I was gonna go back to Rose on Carrot's song. I was doing that one on my own, and I just told her High Octane Carrot Dance Party. And she brought it, and Alex came in the studio, and I told him the same thing, and he brought it, and I was like, "Wow, okay, that's
I can see Alex.
That's how you sculpt the song."
No,
now, for this new record, do you put your own artwork?
My own artwork is on it. Petal on the metal.
You have a beautiful photograph of yours on the cover. Right?
On the cover, yeah. And so if you. A lot of people don't listen to CDs anymore, right? Because they listen online, streaming stuff or whatever.
That's
what
I hear.
You download stuff.
I don't have any.
So
of those
I don't really care for music, so I don't listen to anything.
Right,
yeah, you don't get a you need to have the CD because it's an art piece. Because the CD is the art that the cover makes. Does that make any sense? Yeah. So
now,
the,
are you dedicating
cover,
any songs to me on this record?
They're all dedicated. There's a Circle Bar song.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. It's dedicated.
Shout out to Robert Rothman, played the dominoes on my song.
Wow.
Yeah.
He played the dominoes?
He literally did.
Longtime supporter and fan of the show, Robert Rothman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We love him.
Yeah.
So you know, actually, D.C. Harbold brought this table in. That's from the Circle Bar.
Oh, my God. Artifact.
It's an artifact. There he is. Fingering the table right now.
You took it out, and it's been in your abode all this time.
It's gone through a few different people. That's him tapping.
That's
the
sound.
He's a radio
of the
guy
right there. Yeah. I should have put that in my Domino's song.
Man, he's back with us.
Yeah, I had to go. I had the Cooley Dam in my bladder.
I hear you.
I had to go. I'm sorry. I'm an old man, Natasha.
Cool it
out. So I had to go. But listen, it's great for you to stop by.
So great.
Yeah, and you're getting ready for Jazz Fest, right? Or Mardi Gras, right?
Yeah, we got a little something before this.
Mardi Gras. Now, so I went to my first parade, T-Rex. You know, they have the miniature floats
that people drag along.
It's very fun, though. It's the afternoon. Along St. Rock Avenue.
It better be fun if you're on acid, and that's about it.
Anyway, it's
fun if you're with us. I have to disagree with that one. Okay, I think it's fun.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Chris, pushing back against Manny Chevrolet. I like this. We get the guests.
Well,
he's from LA. Right. You know what I mean? He's from LA.
I care less about parades. I'm done with.
Well, there
parades.
You go. There you go.
There is a certain New Orleans culture that.
Is it the reason that he's your host? Is that a parole thing? You have to be with him. Okay.
Well, you know, Manny and
he needed someone to be funny.
Oh,
he's not funny.
Okay. All right. Well, just checking.
Just to recap how this began. I was a big fan of podcasts, and I'd been listening to them for years, and I thought, I want to do a podcast. And I'm thinking, what can it be? And I'm at the Circle Bar once again, and I look across the bar, and I see Manny. And I think, well, fuck, Manny and I, anytime we get together, we can't stop talking until our wives drag us out.
Okay.
And so I walk up to Manny and go, hey, man, you want to do a podcast? And he goes, everybody says I should do a podcast, but I don't know how to do it. And I said, well, neither do I, but I'm going to figure it out. So that was like a
Marvel comic genesis story.
That was the genesis of the Troubled Men podcast right at that moment.
And you're at Snake and Jake, so there's nobody to drag you out.
300 episodes later.
300 episodes later.
Yeah, but I told you one thing. I said, I'll do it if you don't edit me. And yet he edits me. Constantly.
We all say a lot of things, Manny. Yeah. We all have hopes and dreams. We have wishes. Well, we have aspirations.
This could be my last show.
Could be Manny's last show.
Because you keep editing me.
That was
the only thing you guaranteed me. I said, I'll do it. If you don't edit me.
If you recall.
And he edits me. Constantly. I've got gold. I've got gold. And he edits it.
Now, again, Manny, if you went back over how much I leave in and what I take out, I'm on the dean's list of leaving stuff
in. Yeah, you're bringing that dean's list thing up again. Yeah, I don't know what that means.
It depends. You know? Depends on the guest. He edits gold, baby.
He edits gold.
I'm trying to keep people from throwing firebombs through our windows. Anyway, speaking of taking breaks, I think we should take one more break and come back to wrap this up. Huh,
yeah,
man?
Whatever. Okay.
Say it.
We'll be right back.
The best time of the day is when I open my door and I see the morning glory next to Petunia the pig. Zinnia's hanging in there. The purse lays a surprise. Will there be one bloom or two? It's heaven on the eyes. Sometimes I forget to water the plants when they start to die, and will they beg for a second chance? Grateful and forgiving, though the weather not so much. These plants and I, we try to get by with water and such. I'm supposed to hate the world with all the injustice. I'm supposed to hate the government in the current crisis. But I can't tell a lie, you know I'll tell you from core. It's true when I say I love the morning more.
And we're back for the third segment of our 300th episode of the Troubled Men Podcast.
And we've got a great guest.
Yes.
Yes.
A longtime listener, a troubled listener, very troubled.
Yeah.
And he's smiling already. I love the smile.
Because he has no idea why he's here. But he showed up.
He showed up.
You showed up. You got away from the wife and kids,
In life, you know, 95% of success in life is showing up.
Especially in New Orleans.
Well, sure.
There you go.
And so without further ado, the great Mr. Robert Rothman. Welcome, Robert.
Thank you. So happy to be here. Congratulations on 300. Who would have thought it?
Everyone said it couldn't last.
Yeah.
They were wrong.
Yeah, they were wrong.
They were wrong.
Yeah.
They're wrong about so much.
Yeah. So, Robert, I've known you for, 25 years or something? Probably 20. I moved here in 2000. I met you probably in 2001 at the Circle Bar. And I never really liked you. But now I really kind of dig you. Because you've grown on me.
Thank you. I'm glad it's happened that way.
Okay. Listen, we're not doing jury duty here, Robert. Okay.
You can relax.
All right. This is not jury duty. There's no voir dire here.
I like jury duty.
You like jury duty? Okay. Well.
I have the perfect job for jury duty.
Really?
School teacher.
Oh, okay. Because the state still pays you.
Correct.
There you go.
Now, are you a public school?
Public school, 27 years, Orleans Parish.
Really? So you must be getting close to retirement.
That is right.
Because I think at 32 years, you're in drop, right?
Well, I'm going to start drop next year.
Means drop dead?
No, well, it means at some point you're working for free. You could stop working and make the same amount of money that you're making now.
You have to make 40 years for that.
Okay, well, but you won't make any more money in retirement
They need teachers, so drop allows you to collect your retirement and your salary for up to 3 years.
Okay.
Oh.
And the way it works, so y'all are on a retirement system where you forego Social Security and you just get the state pension. It's a pension system.
Although they've just passed a new law getting rid of that Social Security elimination.
That's good. So you guys could start double
dipping. Mike Johnson.
Oh, so no
shout out to Mike Johnson. One thing he one thing we might.
There's another thing I would have never thought would
right,
happen.
Right, right.
Mike Johnson? I don't know who that is.
He's the Speaker of the House currently.
Oh,
from
oh,
like Louisiana.
Shreveport okay. or
so
something.
So you can't get Social Security, but you can.
They changed the law. Now we can.
I never worked
a job with Social Security.
All your years teaching, you never got.
You opt out of Social Security to be in this state pension system.
State
it's for all the teachers. Like my father, my father-in-law. They were both in that.
College professors.
Yeah, right. So anyway, it's really getting in the weeds here. So Robert, you're here with us. You're a longtime friend of Manny's, a longtime supporter of the show. You were here, I think, at our 200th episode in the backyard that we did.
200th for sure, and this is so New Orleans. It's you bring in the art, you know, the creative people from New Orleans, and it's what makes the city go, and it's why I love it. And we are, you know, as you say, the struggle continues, and it's just you guys are great. I love it.
Thank you. Listen, Robert, I've known you forever. You're one of the first people I met when I moved down here. What to you basically needs to still change in this city? Because I've ran for mayor 5 times now on the same platform. What for you still needs to change? You're from St. Louis, right?
Yeah.
So when did you move down here?
In 97, fall 97.
So I moved here about 4 years after you. So we've been through the same shit. What is still the same topic that still pisses you off after 25 years in this town?
The roads.
What's that?
The streets.
The street. Okay,
They're worse than ever. They've always been bad.
Worse than ever.
They would joke about it.
You know the thing that pisses me off in the last 5 weeks is that all of a sudden they installed smart meters, the sewage and water board. Have they done that at your street yet?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So how has that changed your bill?
Well, I'm not sure it's any more accurate. What I don't like about that is all those classic cast iron meter covers.
They're gone.
No, they left them, but they cut a hole in them to put that
smart meter
thing in there.
I just don't know how smart it can be coming from New Orleans.
Sure. Yeah.
I just don't know. You know, I don't know.
And the guy that was running Surge and Water Board just resigned.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Hindu guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he just left?
Yeah.
Where'd he go?
I don't know where he is. He's probably taking a golden parachute somewhere. Who knows? I made Manny laugh.
Yeah,
all right.
That's good.
Now,
golden parachute is that like a golden shower?
It's related. Now, Robert, as a fan, you may.
All right, okay, Chris Champagne. Thank you, buddy.
Out.
Thanks for coming by.
And now,
thank you to your special girl.
Yes. She's an international girlfriend.
All right.
I like that. I sometimes look at the analytics on the podcast and I see, where are people? I know you don't.
What does that mean?
So it means, where are people listening to the show and what are the numbers on the show?
In their toilet?
You don't know where physically, but what countries are they listening from.
So I
looked at it from the last 90 days.
Okay.
You will not believe this. You will not be able
to
guess.
Tell
this
me.
In a million. So number one, New Orleans. That's easy.
Okay. All right. Good.
Number two. Guess where number two is.
Budapest.
You're okay. Well, that wild guess is closer than my guess would have been like Memphis or L.A. or something. Singapore.
Oh. Well, they're listening
Singapore,
to everybody.
Singapore, China.
Singapore and Budapest are not that close.
Well, don't you think?
No, but just as far as a wild hair, as far as a wild guess.
And what's third?
Budapest.
Hawaii, a town in Hawaii. Now, I have to
think that's all weird.
Some of these, you can't rely on these statistics necessarily. So, number four, Shanghai.
Yeah, okay. I think it's just them spying on us, man. It's basically... spying on us, saying hi.
Some surveillance from the Orient.
Yeah.
Now, number five, one of your favorite towns, Boston.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
All right. So if you had to guess that New Orleans, Singapore, Hawaii, Shanghai, Boston, now number six is New York City.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Anyway, crazy. Who knows?
It's time for me to go home.
All right. Well, Manny, it's been so great. And as I said on the...
I got to work tomorrow,
I know.
Man.
Me too.
I got to be up at 6 a.m.
Well, you get up so early. Sometimes Manny texts me at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah. To answer your question, yeah.
From like 2 o'clock the previous afternoon. So yeah. I do appreciate the timeliness. Anyway, what did I say?
Say good night. That's what you say. Robert, okay. Thank you.
Robert, thank you.
Everyone who showed up.
Everybody for the trouble.
Yeah.
And as always on the Troubleman Podcast, we like to say trouble never ends.
But the struggle continues, Robert. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Ring toss reminders, don't like nothing to lose. That wasn't her style, except on the booze. She was a practical woman, right down to her shoes, right down to her sensible shoes. The moonbeams of science, I crisscross the sky. A hungry young Kyle lets out a cry. But I only remember what I can't forget. So I still see her shoes heading towards the sunset. On the horizon, I can still see them yet. I see sensible shoes. Cruises downtown in a light gray sedan. She won't commit to motion, she doesn't got a plan. She knows her quarry and the lay of the land. And on sensible shoes, she'll make her stand. She's a practical woman, never gambles to lose. She wears sensible shoes. The practical woman, never gambles to lose. She wears sensible shoes. On the horizon, I can still see them yet. I see sensible shoes heading towards the sunset. On the horizon, I can still see them yet. I see sensible shoes.